We're so thankful for our great high priest who is indeed touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I would have you turn in your Bible this evening to 2 Corinthians in the chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning there, let me just add to the prayer requests for the school. I would ask you to pray for our staff on a regular basis. I'd ask you to pray, especially this week, for one of our teachers, Miss Baram, grade 4 teacher. This week she had a scare when her sister took an allergic reaction to some new medication that she received from the doctor and had to be rushed to hospital. And Lillian went along with her. It was a frightening time. Pray for Lillian, pray for her sister, that she would know a full recovery. It took a few hours for her to be stabilized. They gave her an injection to help things, but it made it worse, and all her levels dropped, her blood pressure dropped, her heart rate dropped, and it was pretty frightening. So remember Lillian's sister tonight and the family at this time. Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, familiar words here, as Paul defends his apostleship and tells of the things that he had seen and the things that the Lord had revealed to him. And yet in those things he would not boast. His glory was simply in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 15. Let's just pause for a moment's prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come now to your word. And we pray for your blessing to be upon the ministry of your truth. We ask, Lord, that your word would find a resting place in our hearts. Lord, use your word that it would not return to the void, but it would accomplish your divine purpose this night. I thank you for this calling, Lord. I have been set apart for this hour to minister your word. And I pray, Lord, that I would know the help of the Holy Spirit even as we come to consider the life-changing, life-giving power of the Word. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts. We feel our weakness, and we call again upon Thee. We know that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of need. From that we learn that you are indeed a permanent help, Lord, one who never fails, a powerful help, and a very present help. So, Lord, come alongside now, we pray. Help us in our hour of need. We pray for those who need a touch from thee. We remember again our sister Lillian and her sister in hospital, that she would know that strengthening of body and that return to health. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring our concerns to thee. We can cast our cares upon the Lord, for he indeed is one who cares for us. We can cast our burdens upon the one who is able to uphold us in the hour of affliction and need. So hear us now. Help us as we look to your word. May it be a word in season for the weary soul, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the verse 9 and 10. The answer of the Lord to the apostle. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You have a number of strange paradoxes here, things that seem to be a contradiction. They don't seem to work together, almost like losing your life in order to save it, or rejoicing in tribulation. We read here, strength is made perfect in weakness. We are to glory in infirmities. The apostle said, I take pleasure in infirmities. When I am weak, then I am strong. Those things naturally don't seem to go together. But God in his word has put them here that we would learn from his word tonight. In these closing chapters of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is defending his apostleship. He has come under attack. He had been viciously attacked by false teachers. They had come among the Corinthian believers and they were attempting to steal their hearts away. They wanted them to come under their ministry and under their leadership, and they were stealing hearts away from the simplicity of the gospel. And in order to do that, they ferociously attacked the Apostle Paul. They challenged Paul's authority. They questioned his apostleship. They said he lacked credentials. They said he was weak. They said his motives were insincere, his physical presence was weak, his speech was rude. His letters were weighty, but his personal presence was weak. And so on and on it went. They accused Paul of many things. His accusers were such as commended themselves. They were lifting up themselves before men. And Paul seeks to answer his accusers here, those who commended themselves. They were boasting of their own abilities. They were boasting of their knowledge. They were coming with great letters of reference from the Jerusalem church. They were setting themselves up in Corinth. And they truly had a high opinion of themselves. And Paul answers them in chapter 10, in verse 17, he says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." I don't care what kind of recommendation you have from men, do you have the Lord's approval? We were hearing about that just last week, having the approval of God. They had a high opinion of themselves, but Paul cautions them here. The commendation that really matters in the end is the commendation, the approval of God. And so he challenges them. If anyone had reason to boast and to glory in his works and his attainments, it was the Apostle Paul. He tells of his attainments there in chapter 11 as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, verse 22. So am I. He had many reasons to boast. He had been greatly used of God. And in his work, he had endured many things. What a catalog of suffering you have there in the end of chapter 11. Imprisonment, stripes, imperils, hungry, naked, and so on. And so on. Here he relates to them the afflictions that he had suffered. And yet, what had they done? Where were they when the church was established? What had they accomplished for the Lord, for all their letters of men? Paul could glory. He surely had much reason to glory and to boast, but that was not his nature. That was not his character. He speaks of the afflictions that he endured for the gospel. But as you come to chapter 12 here, he speaks of the revelations of glory. He had much reason to glory or to boast. He could tell of the glorious experience that he had. He was permitted to see what perhaps no other mortal had seen. The glory of heaven, the veil being removed, him being caught up to the third heaven, hearing things not lawful to utter, seeing things that he had never seen before. Heavenly visions, revelations of glory were granted to the Apostle Paul. And yet for all this, he did not boast in those things. He didn't boast like those other teachers who had come among them. He didn't commend himself. His boast, very simply, was always in the Lord. Let him that glorieth glory in this. This is my boast. He said in chapter 11, verse 10, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting." That's what I glory in, the truth of Christ. And if I must needs glory, he says there in chapter 11, verse 30, "I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." The very weakest of things. Literally, mine infirmities, the things of my weakness. Paul recognized that it is the Lord alone who gives grace and glory. The Lord alone who gives grace to work and to witness and to see great things done. And Paul's motive in ministry was the glory of God. His ministry had the approval of God. And that's all that mattered to Paul in the end. That's what we should strive for. That's what we should seek after. And he says here, "I will not boast of my talents, of the things that I have done, of my visions, revelations of glory, but of my infirmities, the things of my weakness, the trials, the pains, the sufferings that he endured for Christ." He would gladly do it all again for the Savior. He would glory in reproaches. Look at verse 10 of chapter 12. He says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, the things of weakness, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses." I will take pleasure in reproaches. The disgrace, the dishonor, the scandal of the cross, the things that cause men to treat the gospel with contempt, the things men, ungodly men, esteem to be disgraceful, though they look upon the gospel with scorn, I will take pleasure in reproaches. I will glory in that contempt that comes, that contempt and scorn that I meet with as a follower of Christ. In necessities, I will take pleasure. The distress that arises from being in want. The word really denotes unavoidable distress, something that was outside of his control. He would gladly endure those things if needs be, if it would bring glory to the Lord. Persecutions. Take time to read through chapter 11 and the sufferings, the imprisonment, the stripes, the sufferings that he was exposed to for Christ's sake. I take pleasure in those things because I am entering into the fellowship of his sufferings, and I seek to bring glory to the Lord. I will gladly bear my cross for him. The apostle says here in verse 9, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's not the way we think naturally. That's not the way we talk. That's not our natural tendency. "Most gladly will I glory in infirmities." We do not count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations or trials. We do not tend to take pleasure in infirmities. But he says here, "Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Taking pleasure in infirmities is not something we tend to do. Normally, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We do not think to greatly rejoice because that heaviness comes upon us. The burdens are great. And rather than greatly rejoice, we are greatly cast down. We tend to despair. That's because glorying in infirmities is not something natural to us. There is this root of pride in man, this root of pride in us that the Lord must at times deal with. It's our desire always to make a good impression. We want to be well thought of. We want to be strong. We do not want to appear weak or infirm or unlearned or ignorant. We like people to think that we know what we're doing. We know that we are what we're about. We know what we're talking about. There's that root of pride in us. And so it's not natural for us to glory in infirmities, to greatly rejoice in manifold temptations. What does it take to do that? It takes the grace of God. The great grace of God in order to do that. Those infirmities are the things of our weakness. Boasting of the things of my weakness is not something natural to us, especially in this day and age, when that philosophy of man abounds, evolutionary thinking, where it's all about the survival of the fittest, dog eat dog, the strongest survive, the strongest go on. It's all about self-promotion, self-aggrandizement, selling yourself, creating an image. It's all about marketing. And sadly, that philosophy has come into the church as well, in the mega churches. You have to sell your product. You have to sell yourself. It's not natural for us to glory in the things of weakness. We don't like people to think of us as weak and incompetent. If we're to boast, it's about our strengths, our accomplishments, our attainments, our gifts, our talents, all these things. But the Apostle Paul, he warns against that in ministry. It's not about us, it's all about the Lord. We're not to glory in our own attainments, we're to glory in the Lord. That spirit of the Pharisees can come in, doing in order to be seen of men. It can come in so quickly, and we have to beware of it. It can happen in the church. That root of pride can come in, and we can become proud, proud of position, proud of our knowledge, proud of our attainments, proud of our ability to debate theology, proud of whatever. Pride comes in. And there is that doing, like the Pharisees, to be seen of men. And of course, the Lord tells us in the Gospels, such have their reward. They have the approval of men, but that's all they have. They do not have God's commendation. We need the blessing of God, and we long for the blessing of God. We desire the blessing of God. But are we willing to pay the price? Do we count the cost of consecration? You think of the things that the Apostle Paul endured here. This was no half-hearted commitment. He was not seeking his own things. He was seeking the things of Christ, and it cost him. We all want God's blessing. There's not one here who would say, I don't want God's blessing. We want God's blessing. We need God's blessing. We want and desire God's favor, but are we willing to take up the cross and to follow Him? It means sacrifice. It means obedience. It means counting the cost. There's a costly sacrifice of time and energy. Are we willing to go through with God? So often we feel our weakness. When we read about the sufferings of the Apostle Paul there, we wonder if this glorying in infirmities is even possible. We are so liable to be despondent in times of pressure. We are liable to murmur and complain. We do not submit to the way of God, or we try to work it out in our own strength according to reason. And then when we fail, then we turn to the Lord. But Paul would have us learn here that it's only as we perceive our own weakness, only as we perceive our weakness against the power of the evil one, the adversary, that we will rest in the Lord. When I am weak, then I am strong. It is when we come to an end of self that we learn to lean upon the Lord. And that really is a sign of growth in grace. We're growing in grace when we're learning to lean more and more upon the Lord, to trust Him even in the darkest hour, to rejoice even in tribulation, to glory in infirmities. How can we do that? How can we be in heaviness because of the manifold temptations and yet greatly rejoice, as Peter tells us? Although there is that heaviness because of the present affliction, there is at the same time great joy because there is a future hope. The hope of glory. And glorying in infirmity is truly a sign of development in grace. When we're resting in the Lord, submitting to Him, submitting our way to the Lord, yielding to His purposes, We're growing from infancy to maturity. We're recognizing that God will give grace. He gives more grace, and he gives grace to the humble, to the weak. When I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord. There are two pivotal words here. In verse 10, the end of the verse, it says, when I am weak, then I am strong. When and then. Those are two pivotal words. When I am weak, that is, when I am conscious of my own weakness, when I recognize my feebleness, when I am painfully aware that without Christ I am nothing, I can do nothing. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I come to an end of myself, then I am strong in the Lord. You read Psalm 107 comes to mind. The situations there, the four situations of those who found themselves in distress, the wanderers, the pilgrims looking for a city of refuge, a city of rest. They found themselves in great distress. They cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard them and delivered them out of their distress. Then shall they praise the Lord. The prisoner, the sick, the one tossed on the sea. When we're weak, we come to an end of ourselves. We cry unto the Lord. The Lord hears us in our afflictions, and he strengthens us. Then I am strong in the Lord. Perceiving our own weakness, we fly to Christ for refuge. The real truth is that we live in weakness always. We are so weak. Our life is but a blade of grass. It grows up for a little while and then it is cut down. What strength is there in a blade of grass? The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. And the truth is, we live in weakness, but we do not always see our weakness. We do not always perceive our weakness. We think we are strong. We delude ourselves and tell ourselves that we are fit for the challenge. We're fit for the fight. We're strong. And God must show us again that the arm of the flesh will always fail you. He must bring us to the place where we feel our weakness, so that feeling our weakness, sensing our weakness, seeing our own weakness, that really is a goad. It's a pointer. It points us to Christ. It prompts us to flee to the Savior for refuge, to find strength for your soul. Then I am strong in the Lord. And Paul really here, you could say he's making a full confession. I'm infirm. I face reproaches. I've been persecuted. I'm distressed at times. You know, he's honestly confessing his heart. And the Lord would have us humbly make a full confession to him of our weakness. I am weak, Lord. There's nothing I can do in my own strength. I need the Lord. And we're encouraged to confess our weakness. We're encouraged to come to the place of prayer, to pour out our hearts to the Lord, to tell him our wants, our distresses, our needs, the things we face, our afflictions. And the Lord would have us rely on him in that fashion. He would have us show our dependence upon him by confessing fully our weaknesses. C.H. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, let me persuade you to make a full confession of weakness to the Lord. This is what to say. Say, Lord, I cannot do what I ought to do. I cannot do what I want to do. I cannot do what I used to do. I cannot do what other people do. I cannot do what I mean to do. I cannot do what I am sure I shall do. I cannot do what I feel impelled to do. And over this sinful weakness, I mourn. And then he added, Lord, I long to serve thee perfectly, yet I cannot do it. Unless thou help me, I can do nothing aright. There will be no good in my actions, my words, my feelings, my desires, unless thou continue to fill me with thine own holy energy.
Lord, help me. Help me. And he said, brother, sister, you are strong when you plead in that fashion. When you are weak, then you are strong, because there you find renewed strength. We learn to cast our burdens on the Lord, and the weight lifts. Our strength is renewed. We've cast all our care upon him because he is one who cares for us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And he will strengthen you, but only when you're emptied of self, when that root of pride is taken away. And that personal weakness is strength because we're driven away from self to the Lord God Almighty, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And weakness as a plea with God becomes power in prayer. Unto them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He giveth power to the faint. Even the young men shall faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And so we should be glad for affliction. We should glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. And God uses the things of our weakness to build us up, to strengthen us, that we would be drawn to him for power. But Paul tells us here that those things of our weakness, our infirmities, are also sent. They are given. Actually, they're the gift of God. They are appointed for us. He says, there was a thorn in the flesh given unto me. It was God's gift. It was God's appointed gift for him. Some speculate as to what it is, some bodily infirmity, failing sight. Maybe it was some person who made life miserable for the apostle, a Hymenaeus or an Alexandra. Nevertheless, it was a source of perpetual trouble, and Paul sought the Lord. He sought the Lord three times that the Lord would take it away. We're not told what it was, but we are told why it was given. He said in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. The Lord allowed that for a particular reason, to keep him from pride, to keep him from being exalted above measure. Sometimes we're in danger of becoming spiritually proud and self-confident. And the Lord brings some affliction along in order to keep us from being lifted up. He said, God was pleased to appoint me. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. And the reason he could glory in infirmities, because it was the result of God-given discipline. He recognized that even in that affliction, God was at work. There's no reason to despair. There's no reason to be cast down. God was continuing a work, a gracious work, perhaps a necessary work. He realized this was a necessary work, lest I should be exalted above measure. The Lord gave to me this thorn in the flesh. It was a rod or a goad. The thorn in the flesh there, the picture is that of a cattle prod, of a goad. A goad to prick cattle, to steer them in the right way, to drive them. And he's saying, there's given to me a goad, a cattle prod, in order that I would be delivered from pride, to beat down pride. That pride that would so quickly rise up in my heart. I sought the Lord for the removal of this thing, he said. But the Lord gave him a different answer. An answer he may not have been expecting. The Lord said in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the answer of Christ. It's right for us to go to the Lord in times of affliction and pray to the Lord and seek his aid, seek his help, seek deliverance. He may remove that affliction. He may take it away, but he may not. But always he will give grace. He may not answer in the way we think or the way we desire, but he will give grace, and his grace is all-sufficient grace. And the answer of Christ here is the answer of power. The power of Christ is all-sufficient to support us in the hour of affliction. He could glory in those infirmities if it meant the power of Christ was resting upon him. If it meant that the power of Christ would be manifest in him. You see, the Lord gives grace to the humble when we feel our weakness, our infirmities, our feebleness. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will lift us up. He will strengthen us. When I am weak, then I am strong. The more the burdens weigh in on me, the more I feel my need for divine assistance. We've all been there. We've come to an end of ourselves when out of weakness we are made strong. And those afflictions, that thorn in the flesh perhaps, is given not only to keep us from pride, but in order to magnify his power in us. God has this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, that his power would be exalted to keep us from pride, but also to magnify his power, to make us realize that it's not our might or our power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so in those times of affliction, in spiritual affliction, when we're weak, we must find our strength in the Lord. For at a time of weakness, we are very susceptible to temptation. The messenger of Satan would come to buffet us, and the devil will take every opportunity to tempt us when we are weak, and he would shoot his poisonous darts. And though he would mean it for evil, God is able to overrule for good, and those poisonous darts of the wicked one become medicinal to us. And the afflictions that we face, they drive us to the Lord. And it's only as we feel our weakness and are conscious of how powerless we are, especially when under attack. We have no power to fight against the adversary. Then we will be strong in the Lord. When and then. Two key words in this verse. And personal weakness is strength to the believer. For it delivers us from self-reliance, it keeps us from pride, and it draws us to the Savior. And we plead our weakness before God in prayer. We recognize that without him we can do nothing. Only then can we glory in our infirmities. They compel us to seek the Lord. They draw us to Christ, our great high priest, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What a blessing it is to have hope, to have a refuge for your soul, to be brought into the fellowship of Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings. To even be counted worthy at times to suffer for the Savior, recognizing that we have nothing to boast of in and of ourselves, nothing to commend ourselves, but our boast is in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that grace is given to the humble. May the Lord give us grace even to accept our weakness. Grace to turn to him in the time of need, that he would be that very present help to us, that he would dwell with us and we would dwell in him, that we would willingly submit to God's purposes. That's not easy for us to do at times. We tend to kick against the pricks, but Christ dwelling in us, as we learn in Ephesians chapter 3, Christ dwelling in us by the power of His Spirit enables us to triumph. And we can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He works in us to will and do of His good pleasure. He endues us with power. He equips us by His grace for the conflict. The Lord revealing His power and glory. It's only as we abide in Him. It's only as we rest in Him we can go forward. We can face the enemy. We can face life. We can face the afflictions of the day. We can face the future with hope. Because when I am weak, I find my strength, my all in Christ the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee this night. And we recognize that our life is but a vapor that vanishes away. We are like the flood that passes by. We are like the grass of the field. It grows up for a short time and then is cut down. Teach us how frail we are, Lord. Help us to see afresh our need of Thee, of divine strength, divine assistance, that we would turn again to Christ, our all in all. We would find our help in Him. Deliver us from pride, Lord. Keep us from being filled with self, relying on self. May we know the infilling of the Holy Spirit day by day to be true and faithful witnesses who are sincere, that we would set forth the truth of Christ to those round about us. Lord, help us to live in a manner that becomes the gospel, that we would indeed prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Be with us this night. Help us, Lord, in our going out and our coming in. Lord, be with us this week, and may we know Your presence with us day by day. Oh, that we would rest in Thee, our shield and our defender. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.